at rest. I and my Savior happy and blessed. I am watching and I'm waiting. I'm looking above and I'm filled.
Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, True Worshippers. Today's message is based on John 4, verse 24. But let us open with prayer. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. In your wisdom, you have made all creation to worship you. You call us to worship you now in this time and place in unity with prophets, martyrs, and saints from all times and places. As we prepare for worship, we pray that you will quiet our hearts, that we may hear your voice in your word. We pray that you will stir our hearts, that we may more faithfully follow Jesus, that you will be glorified by the praise and prayers we offer to you. Amen. So turn now in your Bibles to John 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we continue today with the 133-year-old sermon by Archibald Brown on worship, what is it? The last time we talked about how we are to worship, and we will clean up just a few points for there and then go on to who worship God's rightly, who are the true worshipers of God. It's not enough to own a Bible, what used to be called coffee table Bibles, for that's where they stayed never open, so that people could see how devout you were. And it's not enough to go to church unless you worship rightly and then live a new life in Christ. These two may seem to follow closely, and they do, but we all need help in our new lives in Christ that can only be attained if we hear the truth of Scripture and bow ourselves down in the true spiritual worship of God. So Mr. Brown begins, but here's the difficulty, how hard it is to get this wretched self the bell. When myself, graciously influenced by the divine spirit, prostrates itself lower and lower before God until it puts its very brow into the dust, with no word to say for itself, but filled with a glorious consciousness of being before God. Perhaps too delighted to be able to utter a word, simply prostrate before God, and yet without an element of dread. Then I approximate the meaning of the word worship. Worship is not even a matter of words. There may be words, there may not be. Worship is not interfered with, either by their presence or by their absence. Very delightful it is to join in singing hymns and singing them loudly. Yes, but the singing of hymns is not necessarily worship, although we may worship in the singing of hymns. The reading of the word is very precious, but the reading of the word is not necessarily worship, though I may worship in the reading of the word. When we just had our morning prayer, who of us did not feel that prayer is talking to God? And that is delightful worship. Yes, but worship is not necessarily prayer, though true prayer will always be worship. The spirit may worship in prayer, but worship is that inner thing that can neither be seen nor heard by our fellow men. It is myself down before God in unspeakable delight. And now may I take you a step further? And this will go more deeply into the subject of what is worship. We answer true worship is the sovereignty of God recognized in reality. I am afraid that that phrase, the sovereignty of God, is not very popular just now. The sovereignty of man commends itself most to this proud generation. Humanity enthroned in worship is Satan's present preparation for an actual Antichrist. A day of terrible judgment is at hand for those who, in the pride of their heart, have thus defied humanity. For the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and every one that is lifted up, he shall be brought low. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the Lord alone shall be exalted. They that bow not now before the sovereignty of God can never be his worshipers. Where there is no recognition of divine sovereignty, there can be no true worship, for worship is the bowing and not the exaltation. God's critic can never worship him. He has contention with Jehovah concerning his sovereignty, cannot worship him, whatever else he may do. In worship, my whole self accepts the sovereignty of God, and without a quibble or criticism, bows in unreserved obedience. There's a very remarkable expression in the book of Genesis where Abraham says to his servants, "Tarry ye here while I and the lad go up yonder and worship." That's from Genesis 22. Abraham does not mean to go there and pray. No, Abraham taught of the Spirit. He has entered into the very core of what worship is. He's going to render a sublime obedience to God, the sacrifice of his son, a surrender which knows no limit. This is worship. It's comparatively easy to surrender oneself to enthusiasm. Let there be mighty shouts of praise such as would fill this building, and he would be a strangely stoic soul who remained unmoved. Let there be a multitude of people brought together and one thought filling all minds, and in all probability animal magnetism will be quite sufficient to account for the good deal of thrilling emotion. Yes, it's not too difficult to be moved by enthusiasm, and it's not a very high experience either to be led to break out in a note of praise. But brothers and sisters, to bend the will, to bow myself, this is no easy achievement. For me to sing ecstatically about the greatness, the glory, and the majesty of God, and yet not be surrendered to him, is not worship. I may sing like a seraph of him who rules and does as he wills, but if my proud heart is not in absolute submission to God's will, I know nothing whatever of the meaning of this word worship. Much of what many hear in church is not worship, but rather crowd psychology. Many attempt to alter the emotions of the congregation with human knowledge and ignore God's word. A minister once read the selected scripture and then proceeded to tell about a new book he had just read on psychology and motivating people, none of which is necessarily bad or wrong, except this was what he spoke of in place of his sermon. This was what he substituted for worship. And sadly, there are so many that hear this and never feel moved by the very Word of God or the teachings of the gospel. So returning to Mr. Brown's message, no proud, self-satisfied, no God-contending spirit can worship. So long as self lifts up his head, there is no worship. The worship taught in this word is the prostration of the self in adoring love before Jehovah. As one has well put it, if my memory serves me rightly, to worship is to plunge with dazzled eyes into the glory of God, and then with veiled face to cry, Holy, Holy, Holy. This prostration before the sovereignty of God, as we have already said, is not a prostration of fear. No, a worshiper would not have God less a sovereign than he is if he could. The yoke of the divine sovereignty does not gall him. He sings, My God, how wonderful thou art, thy majesty, how bright, how beautiful thy mercy seat in depths of burning light. He would not have the burning light less burning. He fears, but oh, it is with a delightful fear, a fear that has no element of terror, for he adds, But I may love thee, O Lord Almighty, as thou art, for thou hast stooped to ask of me the love of my pure heart. May we know, dear brethren and sisters, more and more every day what it is to be in absolute subjection to the sovereignty of God, our wills completely surrendered to his, so that the subjection becomes the soul's delight. Perhaps the most marvelous picture of worship we have in this book is that which is found in Isaiah 6, and you should know it well. The burning ones, the sons of fire, the seraphim, are worshiping, and how do they worship? I hear them cry, Holy, Holy, Holy. They are not thinking of themselves. They are not concerned about their surroundings. Those seraphim are occupied with one, and that one is upon a throne high and lifted up. And as the cadence of their song rises and falls, Holy, 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 what do? They veil their faces, though they may be seraphic, and they veil their feet, though they be unsoiled. They boast neither of their character nor of their walk. It is a self-veiled, self-hidden, self-forgotten, self-drowned, and God fully realized. May the Lord grant that when the next we use this word worship, there may be a deeper meaning in it, perhaps, than there ever has been before. And then when I cast my inner self prostrate before the Lord, earth left behind alone with him, 'tis then I know the word. When conscious only of himself, myself to swept away, 'tis then in spirit and in truth I worship in his way. So our second question is, who then are worshipers? And bear with me, unconverted friend, for a moment. You may perhaps feel wounded at what we say, but if we wound you, as we hope we may, we do so in deepest love. In answer to the question, who are worshipers, we rely that the unrenewed cannot be. No unconverted man in this church can worship. I will tell you why. Because the natural man is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can they be. We get this from Romans 8:7. As long as I have within me a self that is not subject unto God, how can I worship? That self which lifts up its head and struts about and is proud of its own righteousness cannot worship. I know when the angels will recognize your worship. It is when that proud head of yours has been bent before God, the last word of self-excuse has been uttered, and when the brow of your inner soul is down in the dust as you cry, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Then the angels will begin to rejoice and say, Behold, he prays at last. Now the man has commenced to worship. Then the two men went up into the temple to pray. We read this from Luke 18:10 through 14. Do you see the one as he says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. That man does not bow himself before God. No, he indeed, while his Pharisee self struts about like a little god, saying, I do this, I do that, I give tithes of all I possess. The man said his prayer and he went back, but he did not worship. Now, do you see the other man? He bows his innermost self as he cries, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And Christ's comment is this, I tell you, that man went down to his house justified rather than the first. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and everyone that humbles himself shall be exalted. Do you want to know whom you worship? You worship the one whom you bow down. Whatever you may be, your professions. If I bow down to money, then I worship money. If I bow down myself to self, I worship self. Whatever that thing may be that which I prostrate myself to, that thing is my idol. O unrenewed man, thou art a worshiper, but thou art bowing down to the works of your own hands. Self is the god. The true Christian also, so long as he is unsurrendered, cannot be a worshiper. Have you ever had a little quarrel with God? And you say, a quarrel with God? Yes, you are sure that you never had one? Well, I do not know the man who could venture to say he never had. God's thought about some matter is not quite your thought. His way is not the way you want to take, and so there is an inward contention. Your will is not surrendered to his, therefore you do not get any refreshment from your devotions. How can there be devotion where there is no devotedness? As long as I am God's critic, as long as I am God's judge, as long as I am contending with him about anything, there can be no real worship. Hence, when we come away oftentimes unrefreshed in prayer. We go to church very regularly, and perhaps we read the word, but we do not get any blessing. So why is this? The answer is simple. We are not worshipers. The moment that miserable self falls down before God, we shall have the blessing. For then we are true worshipers, but not until then. This word seems to grow on me, but I see that my time is about gone, so therefore I will conclude. And any heart that prostrates itself in adoring love is a true worshiper. I will not ask you to turn to the references now, but will you look up the word worshiper where it occurs in the New Testament and see who the real worshipers are? To do so is very instructive. I read, for example, from Matthew 8, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. Now how did that leper worship? And listen, he said, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.'" I have often heard that poor leper abused as if he was a very unbelieving man because he said, "if." I think that the man was quite right. He bowed to divine sovereignty. "Lord, I have no doubt to your ability. If you will, you can make me clean." The Lord has put him down on the list of his worshipers. And in Matthew 15, there comes a Syrian Phoenician woman, and I read, "And she fell at his feet and worshipped him and said, 'Lord, help me.'" Now mark, how did that woman worship? See how she won the title worshiper? And then Jesus said, "It's not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Most of us would have lifted up the head of our paltry little self and said, "Dog, do you call me a dog? I'm not a dog." But when self lifts up its head, it ceases to be a worshiper. The woman, though, said, "Truth, Lord, but yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." The Lord then enrolls her among his worshipers. And had we time, we could show you how often persons in the most unexpected quarters yielded to the Lord a worship which refreshed his heart. "O come, let us worship. You know where to come. There is the altar, there is the sacrifice, there's the high priest. Behold where Jesus sits, still bearing the marks of the thorn crown and the nails. I will tell you what worship is then. It is to go to the mercy seat concerning which God has said, 'There I will meet with you.' It is to cast oneself right down at the feet of Christ, perfectly prostrate, for self is concerned. The last idea of goodness is taken out of us. The last word of excuse is silence. The brow is in the dust, and yet trust and love in the heart. Oh, come, poor sinner. Your life in the past may have been as black as perdition. You may have rejected the word over and over again. But will you worship this morning? Doff your pride. Do not be damned for the sake of your dignity. Down with self before an exalted Christ. Give him love's salute, and the Lord will say, 'That man worships me.' For worship is the captive will hidden deep in him. Nothing in our hearts but love, these filled to the brim. Hearts that bow before the Lord, lost in loving gaze, viewing what a love he gave, filled with holy praise. Looking at his lovely form with an eye of faith, thinking not of the world and self, only what he saith. Resting in the arms of him who over all hath sway, willing he should take our wills, make them his will, his way. Counting self as nothing worth, Jesus Christ is all. Losing our whole self in him, caught in love's sweet thrall. Worship lies in bended wills rather than bent knees. The secret of life of praise is Jesus Christ to please. So Spirit of God, give the spirit of worship to every one of us. And for thy name's sake, amen. I pray that Mr. Brown's message has in some way affected your understanding of what worship should be. We also must understand that our worship does not only affect our personal salvation, but our relationship with God as well. We hear so often that God is love and that all are saved. We must understand that worship is not about us. It always should reflect God. Let's take a brief look at the last chapter of the book of Isaiah, chapter 66 and verses 4 through 5. So will I choose their delusions. I will bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and choose that which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. Now this particular selection is a part of God's message to the people through Isaiah to point out their false and insincere worship. The things in our lives and our world that distress us the most are in fact God's response to our lack of true worship. Many live in fear because they do not trust God, for they have not truly discovered God through proper worship. We may not even attempt to worship. We may even despise God, and then we are at fault for the condition of the world. We may attend church every Sunday but not hear the truth. We may hear the truth but choose to ignore God's truth. The condition and quality of your life depends on how you worship. Do you bow in spirit to your Creator, Sustainer, and Master, or do you allow your self-interest to control your life? Bend your pride and selfishness and join true worshipers of God. It is not in the style, but in your heart that counts. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called to one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find videos of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.